Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 20, the Lord instructs Sanatan Goswami, text 39. Ehi mantra dvapar kare Krishna chana Krishna nama sankirtan kari yuga dharma. Ehi mantra. By this mantra. Dvapare, in the age of Dvapara, kare, perform, Krishna achan, the worship of Lord Krishna, Krishna nama sankirtan, Krishna nama sankirtan.
Krishna nama sankirtan.
Chanting with the holy name of Lord Krishna.
Chanting with the holy name of Lord Krishna.
Kali yuga dharma.
Kali yuga dharma.
The occupational duty in the age of God.
The occupational duty in the age of God.
By this mantra, the people worship Lord Krishna in the Dwapara Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, the occupational duty of the people is to chant congregationally the holy name of Krishna. So we can look at the previous verse, and it said, Namaste Vasudevaya Nama Sankarsanaya Cha Pradumya Niruda Tubhyam Bhagavate Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanded as Vasudev Sankarsan Pradumya Niruda. So it said, that's for Dwapara Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, which we congregate, and we chant the name of Krishna. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51, Kali dosa nidirajan astiga mahangunam kirtana deva krishna syamukta panda paramulajet. In Kali Yuga, one worships Lord Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To propagate this movement, Lord Krishna personally appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is described in the following verse. It is interesting because the age of Kali is the age where the span of life is very short. Prayena payusa sabya alpa ayusa means little lifespan, short lifespan. Kalavas ninyuki janaha manasu mandamatiyo mandabhakyayu. The living beings, they become lazy, they become slow-witted, or less intelligent, and always disturbed. So, all the qualifications are diminishing. But something extraordinary is happening in the age of Kali, and that is this, is that in the Dwapara, in the Satya Yuga, people are very qualified. They have a very long life, 100,000 years. And if we would have taken our birth, if we would have been around with our present consciousness in that age, what kind of birth would we have gotten? I don't know, but not human, most likely. Somewhere, something in the animal species. Because we would not have had the qualification. No. In Dwapara Yuga, human beings are a little less qualified. In Treta Yuga, a little less qualified. In Dwapara Yuga, still less qualified. In Kali Yuga, it takes very little qualification to get the human birth. That's basically the situation in this age of Kali. So the threshold is lowered. Human birth is given to those who are actually not having any good qualities at all, but still they get human birth. Whereas in previous Yuga, monkeys, hogs, dogs, camels, asses, and you name it, anything but not human. So there's a special concession in this age of Kali, that you get very easily the human birth. Now the difficulty is that we are not having much self-discipline in the age of Kali. So it's not very easy to use the human birth what it's meant for. Vedic scriptures say, Atatu Brahmi Yigyasa. Atatu Brahmi Yigyasa is coming from the Vedanta Sutra, which is supposed to be the essence of all the Vedas, summarized. And it means, now, now, therefore, let us inquire into the Absolute Truth. And the Acharyas say, now, therefore, means now that we have attained the human form of life. So, human form of life means that. Let us inquire into the Absolute Truth. But that's rare now in this age of Kali.
That is difficult. Philosophy, difficult to take, but
Kirtan, somehow or other, that goes quite well. Many people can appreciate Kirtan. So, Kalardosa Nijarasana, it is an ocean of fault, is it? But Kirtan is the principal spiritual activity. And, as we see, not only Kirtan, but also the quality of the mantra is increasing. Whereas previously, the focus of the mantra is increasing. Previously, the focus was on the expansions of Krishna. We know very well that Krishna, Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam, he has Anantarupam, unlimited forms, or as it's also said in the Brahma Samhita, Diparchir Evi Dasantram Avibhetya. Which means that from one lamp, many other lamps can be lit. But Krishna is always described as Govindam Adipurusham, as the Adipurush. And the Adipurush, he has all opulences in full. No other form of the Lord has the same power.
There are various incarnations of the Lord
described. And it is said that each of these incarnations are having a particular quality of Krishna. For example, it is said that Lord Ramachandra was particularly known for fame. His fame was spread all over, and because of his... Okay, now we're going to do that.
Can we bring the clothes back? Thanks.
Huh? Now we switch it back off. I don't believe it.
You try to keep me engaged.
So I'll go back to this. Ram was known for his fame. It is said Balaram and Mohini, they're actually known for their beauty. They are particularly having that quality of beauty. Then you have Lord Prithu. He has the... He can switch it off. There's a little devil in the box. A monkey in the power. Okay, so Lord Prithu, he has the Bhupalana Shakti. The Bhupalana Shakti is the power to protect the earth.
So in this way, it's listed that different incarnations of the Lord carry a certain type of power. But only Krishna is known as Sadaishwarya Purna, as he who carries all the opulences. So all the other incarnations of the Lord, they carry a certain aspect of the power of the Lord. But Krishna carries the full power of the Lord. So particularly in the age of Kali, we begin to focus on the name of Krishna, on the Adipurush, the one who has the full power. So as the age is becoming more difficult, as the threshold for the human form of life is lowered, and therefore human beings have no qualifications at all, then the quality is actually increased from the previous yuga. Because now the focus becomes Govindam Adipurusham, the Adipurusha, the original self-same Supreme Personality of God. Eti cham sakala pumsa krishna stubhagavan svayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. That's an interesting verse, because Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that this is the Paribhasa Sutta. And a Paribhasa Sutra means the one verse that lights up the whole text. So there's one verse of the Bhagavatam that lights up the whole Bhagavatam. And that verse is this verse, Eti cham sakala pumsa krishna stubhagavan svayam indrari vyakulam lokam vidyanti yuge. So there's a whole list of incarnations given, and then it says, amongst this list, there are different categories of amongst these incarnations. Some are amsa, some are plenary portions, that is amsa, or some are kala, some are portions of plenary portions. But Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the original self, same Supreme Lord. So this Krishna, stu Bhagavan Swayam, is establishing Krishna as the original Supreme Lord. And all the others. So not only are from one original light many other lights manifesting, but they're also of a different strength. Each one has a different strength. That's to be noted. So in Kali Yuga, we are getting the topmost, and that's Lord Chaitanya, giving the topmost to the most unqualified. And if your phone rings, then it will be confiscated. Any phone that rings is mine, even if it's in my pocket. That's the rule this evening. Pitta varna dhari tava kaila travatam prema bhakti dit. I'm sorry, I can't see it. Prema bhakti dila loke laya bhakta ga. Accompanied by his personal associates, Lord Chaitanya, assuming a golden color, introduces the Hari Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in the age of Kali. By this process, he delivers love for Krishna to the general populace. It's quite an amazing thing, this chanting, right? Because it's quite blissful. It's fun, actually. And we see that it operates on having fun and having a good time. And that's how people become inclined to take it. It's not a dry process. Some processes are very dry. You see these very dry lectures sometimes, and especially in India, and people go. But some and slowly everyone begins to fall asleep. Whether you understand the Hindi or not, it doesn't matter. It puts to sleep anyway. But people still go for the blessings, because they have faith. So they have faith that there are blessings, but the taste is not so much there. But the enchanting taste is very easily. So it is on taste. On taste that the quickest
this chanting of Hare Krishna is resting on enthusiasm. You cannot say this is the prescribed duty for the age. No, it's based on having a good time, having fun, and then we can do it when we are enjoying the Harinams. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult. Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, personally introduces the occupational duty of the age of Kali. He personally chants and dances in ecstatic love, and thus the entire world chants congregationally. So it's that blissful element that is a particular aspect of the chanting. And it is on that strength that it works, because in this age, austerity is not one of our qualities. We may remember that when Maharaj Pariksit saw how Kali had attacked the bull Dharma, the three legs of the bull had been broken and only one leg was still standing. And that leg that was standing was truth, and the other ones that were broken were cleanliness, compassion, and austerity. So these things are no longer there. Cleanliness is going when illicit sex is going on. Compassion is being lost when meat eating is there. Austerity is being lost when intoxication is there. That destroys all sense of austerity. Whereas, truthfulness is shaking, but sort of still there. So it is explained in the age of Kali. So, that's the situation. So we must somehow or another appreciate this time. Then, out of all these Kali Yugas, there are 1,000 cycles of 4 Yugas in a day of Brahma. And amongst these 1,000 cycles, there is one Dwapara Yuga. Of 1,000 Divya Yugas, 1,000 cycles of 4 Yugas, there is one Dwapara Yuga where Krishna appears, and after that, one Yuga where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. So we get sometimes into these discussions, the Kali Yuga discussions. It's Kali Yuga. It's Kali Yuga. It's bad everywhere. We see Kali Yuga all around us, and have you seen and have you heard? And we read each other examples from the internet. But actually, it's not Kali Yuga at all. It's Chaitanya Yuga, really. It is Chaitanya Yuga. Everything is auspicious. Everything right now is extremely auspicious. Why are we saying, it's Kali Yuga, everything is so bad? Everything is blessed now. Everything is blessed now. Everything is made easy now. Because Lord Chaitanya has personally chanted and danced in ecstatic love. He's now spreading it everywhere, this Sankirtan wave. One year, we were in Durban Rath Yatra, and it's a very big Rath Yatra, and there is a tent which holds 10,000 people, and it's a large, very large tent, and they have these big spotlights, and then I sit on the stage to give a lecture, and I don't see any people. It's the strangest experience. You sit, you're talking to 10,000 people that you don't see. All you see is these incredible lights, like blinding you, the Brahma Jyoti, and you just give the lecture, but there's no such thing as eye contact or reading a reaction on people's face, so it's a little tough, But anyway, I remember that we were speaking about the kirtan, and how the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya
was just inconceivable at the time of Ratiyatra. The ecstasy know no limits. Lord Chaitanya was jumping high in the sky. Lord Chaitanya was calling out the name Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. Lord Chaitanya was bringing such ecstasy that everyone went beyond themselves. And such kirtan had never been heard, had never been seen before as what was going on during Ratiyatra. Already before the Ratiyatra, the devotees had done amazing kirtan. When the devotees came 2 weeks before Ratiyatra, then they started kirtan around the town of Jagannath Puri, and everyone became just amazed. People came running from everywhere to see it. Because no one had ever seen anything like that, such love, such ecstasy. But when Lord Chaitanya went totally ecstatic during Ratiyatra, then all the devotees just like went beyond themselves. And somehow or other, that is still the nature of Ratiyatra, that we go beyond ourselves in Ratiyatra, beyond ourselves, beyond calculation. Ratiyatra is like that. It's meant to go beyond calculation. You know, you think like, okay, well, today I'm going to pull the chariot for a while, I'm going to dance for a while, I'm going to sing for a while, and that's my plan. Right? And then I'm going to talk to some friends for a while. And that's my plan for Ratiyatra. But when something happens, when a spark of magic touches you and you just lose it, lose control and start to do crazy things, then you know it's Ratiyatra. Then you know it's happening. When you do something you would never do, right? That's Ratiyatra. When others start to do it as well, and when suddenly everyone goes beyond themselves. I remember one Ratiyatra, it was raining. And it wasn't just raining, it was pouring and pouring down. And they gave us all ponchos, you know. So, okay, I'm in my rain poncho. And they asked me to give an address from the chariot before it was starting. And I remember very well what I said. I said, "The rain of mercy is greater than the rain of water." And it was, I tell you, it was. At one point, the kirtan was going, and there was just water everywhere. Fish were swimming past. That's what it was. And then, you know, like, then we just started dancing and dancing, and just, you know, puddles of water, and just like, three guys jump in the puddle of water, and the guy next, like, his whole dhoti, like, covered in water and black. Boy, did we have fun. We became children again, totally beyond ourselves. Absolutely insane, you know, chanting in the rain. It was one of the most ecstatic ratiyatras that I remember. The rain of mercy was definitely greater than the rain of water. So the kirtan that Lord Chaitanya performed at Ratiyatra, such a thing had never been seen, never experienced, never been felt. And anyone who saw it was just like overwhelmed. At one point, Lord Chaitanya was just chanting Jaga, 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 Jaga. No one could figure it out why or what he meant, but except a few devotees. Ramananda Rai understood how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, because Ratiyatra commemorates that moment when Krishna was promising again and again he would come back to Vrindavan. Yes, yes, I'm just now coming to Vrindavan, but I have to kill a few more demons. And then Nanda Maharaj is like, but Krishna, you know, your mother is really waiting for you now. It's time to come home, Krishna. Yes, 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 I understand. I really want to come, but just must kill a few more demons. And the gopis had enough of this, so they just didn't take any more words, you know, no more demons, you're coming to Vrindavan now. And then they grabbed the reins and start putting the chariot back. And such is Ratiyatra. But Rati Yatra is not only pulling the chariot. Rati Yatra, there is also a kirtan. And the kirtan that we are having today is the echo of the kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How is it the echo of the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because that kirtan of Jagannath Puri continued. It continued in the hearts of different devotees who were there and who carried that kirtan to others. And it came down in parampara. And gradually it came to us. And thus, what we're chanting today is the echo of that kirtan in Jagannath Puri. That's what I said while sitting on that stage with all those lights in front of those 10,000 people. And I remember that point, and it's an important point. Therefore, there is already an ecstasy in the kirtan, even before it starts. And just before it starts, something is there. Because we're getting it. We're getting it from ecstatic devotees. Before we started kirtans, so many had already done. Srila Prabhupada had already chanted in New York under the tree in 26 Second Avenue, Tomskin Square Park, just around the corner. He had already chanted. He had already created that ecstasy. Those devotees from those early days, they got it from Prabhupada. He had already chanted. And he had already created so many devotees. Jayananda, or Vishnujan, or Madhudvisa. Madhudvisa came here. We chanted with Madhudvisa, even in his old age. He's still chanting. Baba still remembers, I still remembers. Madhudvisa was just so... He used to be known as the king of kirtan, and he was. He had that shakti, and he was still doing it. Even here, when he was old, he was still doing it. Like, still do this special dance. You know, you have these kirtan leaders. We have Trivikram Maharaj. You know, Trivikram Maharaj is one of the earlier sannyasis in ISKCON, and he already looked like really wrinkled and old when everyone else looked still like kids. That's how it was. But he would always have these basketball shoes on and just like bounce up and down, you know? Already at the beginning of the kirtan, bouncing, you know, you're looking. Or he has this thing, you start a kirtan, and then he chants, and then suddenly he goes like, you know? And he has this, he does a shuffle and goes very fast, and then 20 brahmacharis behind him before you know it, and there's a whole thing going up and down. And all these things have been done and invented long ago. Right? And they are echoing still. Somebody remembers, somebody experienced it somewhere. Of course, sometimes spontaneous things are born also. I was in Africa, and suddenly the devotees made a circle. They made a circle. And then, you know, one jumped from one side of the circle to the other side of the circle. The drummers immediately sat down on their knees, you know, and everyone started flying through the air. And then came the thing that everyone had to go to the middle and do a special dance move, whatever it was, your individual move, you know, anything. But I remember one guy, he just went to the middle of the circle and he dove into the circle and started swimming on the ground. I mean, all these things are just part of kirtan. I've been in kirtans where, you know, after it's been very wild, everyone just sort of like, okay, was lying down on the ground, right? And you just like continue the kirtan, lying down on the ground. Everyone's lying on the ground. Right? And then at one point, right, everyone on the word go, right? jumps up all at once, right, and flying up, and again it bursts into ecstasy. You've seen all these things. I've seen Bibi Govinda Swami banging the wampas on the ground. I've seen Ayendra dancing in the moonlight with his ankle bells on, with his harmonium at midnight, all by himself, and about two other devotees. So many things, but all these things are echoing the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya. That is the point. Everyone takes something from the great Vaishnavas before, and in this way, the kirtan lives on, and it just all happens like that, and grows like that. Mm. This chanting is there, in that way, filled with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and all the Vaishnavas. And in this way, it reaches us, yes. By the time we came, so many great kirtan leaders had already chanted. Here, you know, Sri Prahlad, and so on, in the Jumna Maharaj. We used to have really nice Harinam festivals here at the end of the year. They were really good. Abhiram was still temple president, and he just would rent like a city liner bus, you know, and it would stop at the bus stop right in front of the door. And we would just, maybe two of them or so would come, right? Two or three, I can't remember. Three. They would all, three of them would just pull up, like, at the bus stop, and we'd get on, and we'd just drive to different bus stops in Sydney and get down and do Harinam somewhere, and then get back on, drive somewhere else. And, you know, somewhere in the middle of the day, we'd find a park, eat and sleep, and then we'd go again. And we did this like for something like 10 days or so at the end of the year, every day. You know, it's quite building up the condition. And then at the end, on New Year's Eve, to the Sydney Harbour, you know, with the fireworks on the bridge and all of that. You know. Yeah, it was good. It was lots of fun. Yeah, maybe you should do it again. It was dynamic. There was lots of preaching. And in the Jumna Maharaj, who is so expert, he would just, you know, suddenly stop the kirtan and just say, "Welcome, ladies and gentlemen." And the street transformed into to a stage. And the people just transformed into an audience. And then Maharaj invited them to give a round of applause. And before you know it, right, they said, "Oh yes, we are an audience. Yes. And this is a very nice performance, and it deserves an applause." And before you knew it, you know, he would get a volunteer of the crowd to come out and do a dance and everything. Yeah. Get drum solos done by various drummers. All these things are part of the holy name, of the chanting of the holy name. Or something very simple, very simple. I once, in Germany, stayed in the room with Bhakti Bhushan Swami, who was one of the first devotees, you know, who joined in Germany. And basically what happened was, he was walking in the street, and then he saw this one American boy, 19 years old, doing kirtan all by himself with some cartels. Right? He was on the street and he was just doing kirtan by himself. And he had a magazine. So our now Swami was interested, was looking at it, and after the boy took a break from singing, he got a magazine, right? So he read the magazine, and the next day, he read the magazine, he was convinced, and the next day he joined in. And I said, "Maharaj, how could you do this, right? How could you join a boy with a magazine. It's not so easy. I mean, it took me a while to join, you know, the Hare Krishna movement. I'm looking at, like, do I really have to join the extraterrestrials? do I have to be like that, you know? And really, in a dress for the rest of my life, you know? Jeez, you know. I had my doubts, to be honest, right? I said, Maharaj, what was it? He said, I don't know. I was always like that. If I understood that something was the truth, then I would just, you know, wholeheartedly just go for it. And what can you say? That is Purva Janma. That is previous life. That is, you know, the grass is already dry and just a little flame and it's on fire. Right? Like that, you know, from a previous life already everything was there and immediately a little bit and the reawakening was there. But it doesn't matter. Om pavitra pavitro va yasmarit pundarikaksam sarvavastha gatopi va yasmarit. It doesn't matter from what condition of life we come, pure or impure. At the end, it's everybody. It's something like the Ganges in Mayapur, you know, that like when you go into the water, just on the side of the bank, the current is not so fast, you know. You can go in and you walk, the water is not deep, and it pulls a little bit, but not so much. But when you go deeper, the current gets stronger and stronger. And if you just keep on going deeper, at one point, the current will grab you. That's it, it will just take you away. And in the same way, that's the holy name, you know. Like in the beginning, you know, I mean, how can we get more taste for chanting, you know? Don't worry about it, just chant, right? Chant more, and the more you go into the water of chanting, you know, eventually the current will grab you. It will just grab you, just drag you along. Premamritambo, the ocean of transcendental bliss. So that is what this chanting is. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paru premamritambo nibi. It's that the six Goswamis, they were always loudly chanting. Krishna utkirtan, it says. Utkirtan, not just kirtan, no, utkirtan. Loud kirtan, not camel kirtan, some might say. Wood means also camel. No, that's a wrong translation. Correct translation. Wood kirtan is loud chanting, very loud chanting. Yes. But why not wood kirtan, the camel kirtan? Camels also. But anyway, Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro premamritam bhunidhi, always absorbed in this ocean of transcendental ecstasy by loudly chanting Krishna kirtana. So that is our six Goswamis. They crystallized. They crystallized that ecstasy into writing. They wrote it in book form. And there we find that ecstasy. Yes. So all these things. So it's a combination. Sometimes we are reading and hearing, like now we are reading. Right? It's like, shall we have a bhajan evening, a bhajan evening, a bhajan evening, and a bhajan evening? And to guess what, we're having another bhajan evening because it's the latest trend. We don't talk about philosophy anymore, it's just bhajan, bhajan, bhajan evening. And, you know, sometimes you wonder. Because hearing is the oil of the lamp of chanting. You know, we need to hear. I have my example that I was somehow or other getting the holy name from some musician in some workshop who was going to do ragas with me. So we're chanting ragas, and I happen to know two ragas, you know, visited India and taken some sitar lessons, so I know two ragas. And I played them on guitar, and then he played on piano like this. We did fine. Then he says, let's do some mantra as well. I said, yeah, raga, mantra, all spiritual sound from India, nice, yes. We do some mantra, and he started the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I came in, but I had not heard so much about Krishna, so I didn't. When I chanted that name Krishna, I never saw a picture, you know, of Krishna with the flute, because I had no association with that. So it was just sound, mystical sound from India, very spiritual. Ah, yes. Hare Krishna, Guru, mantra, mantra, it is full of shakti, some special shakti is in this sound, is spiritual from India. Yes. You know, so we would play and chant. But by hearing, the whole mantra got so much meaning. Now you say Krishna, and yes, of course, I see Krishna with his peacock feather, his flute, and then immediately, which flute? Oh, so many flutes he has. Right? He has Venu, which is a little flute. He has Murari. It's a bigger flute, like with jewel decoration. It's marvelous. It's a fancy flute. He has Mahananda. It's the biggest flute for the cowherd boys. Deep, loud sound, and can also be used as a stick. Like that. Different flutes. Yes. Krishna. Where were we? Hare Krishna. Krishna. Krishna, peacock feather, peacock feather, yes, how did he get the peacock feather? Did Krishna already have a peacock feather originally, or did he get it on the way? When he played the flute for the peacocks came to Krishna, and they bowed down to him, and they said, my dear Krishna, please play for us so that we can dance. Then Krishna agreed. And Krishna played a beautiful dancing melody on his flute, and the peacock danced very graciously and stepping this way, that way, and, you know, feathers up and the whole thing. And ecstatic symptoms and everything. The peacocks were just like totally overwhelmed. And then at the end, the peacocks, they bow down to Krishna and said, please accept this gift from us. It was a peacock feather. So Krishna took it. Oh, thank you very much. Placed it on his head. So did Krishna have the peacock feather from the beginning, or did he have it later? Krishna, Krishna. All right, you know, what else? Lotus, lotus eyes, lotus navel, lotus hands, lotus feet, lotus face, lotus mouth, so many lotuses, right? So, by hearing, the whole dimension of Krishna changes. You know, what was first only transcendental sound suddenly has become filled in. So many things are there, you know. Why you're wearing saffron? Because the dust on Krishna's lotus feet is saffron. That's why. And what do you have to say on that? You can go for any other color, you know. Black is beautiful, but, you know, but saffron beats it all. Well, you know, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, what's better than that? What's better than the dust on Krishna's lotus feet? What is more valuable? That's really the most valuable thing you can imagine. In Vrindavan, when Krishna was present, no one would ever step on Krishna's footprints. No one. Not even the animals. Everyone would just simply walk through Vrindavan around Krishna's footsteps.
Even the animals carefully spread their legs, but never step on Krishna's footprints. No cow would, even if it was a whole herd, would ever step on Krishna's footprints. Yeah? Because in Vraj, everyone was worshipping those footprints. Animals, human beings alike. That's the spiritual work. That's far out. So all these things, so as we have heard, then everything changes. Suddenly, the more we hear about Krishna, suddenly the whole meaning of the name changes. The name is Krishna, and Krishna is all attractive. Okay, that's nice. But then how is he all attractive? But if we begin to see, he's all attractive. He plays an amazing flute and different types and according to different personalities. And also, although he plays one melody, everyone hears something else. He's speaking through these flutes, and everyone is hearing a different message. The gopis hear, leave everything. Leave everything right now and come immediately. Yes, immediately. And Radharani hears, you are the only one. Like this. Everyone hears something different. Yeah? In hearing the sound of the flute. So, it is so deep, actually. Right? And the more we go into these pastimes, we find that, gosh, there is much more to it than I thought there was. Right? There is so much more to discover. It's not just like, Krishna is a blue god, God is blue and he plays blue. No, really, blue, is, can I ask a question? It's like, I once gave a lecture in a university, and it was like a student society. And there was sort of, I think it was a, maybe it was a law faculty. They were a little bit snobbish, often in the case in law faculties, actually. And so, the chairman of the student society, he comes over at the end of the lecture and he says, that was damn good, old chap. That was damn good, I must say. That was damn good. Now, tell me something on the side, okay? Just on the side. I mean, do you really believe all that? You don't? So, by hearing about Krishna gradually, we can begin to appreciate Krishna. Of course! It is said that Haridas Thakur knew everything. Although Haridas Thakur is not known for endlessly studying scripture from morning to night. You don't see pictures of Haridas with glasses. Haridas chanting and reading at the same time. And how did he get all the knowledge? From within. From within, it was revealed from within. So that's another thing, Devotees always ask this, and they say, I'm reading, and how will I remember all these things? I don't remember anything. Oh, I'm so offensive. Oh, I'm so terrible. I'm such a bad devotee. Me, so fallen. Me, so terrible. Some self-chastisement. Goes down well, and then, but the truth, it has nothing to do with that. Ichchasiddha Krishna Prem Sadakamudai Shravanali Sudachitta Karyar Udai. This hearing and chanting awakens something within that's already there, that is now waking up, and that knowledge of Krishna is awakening. So it comes from both sides. On the one hand, it awakens from within, and on the other hand, we hear from the outside, and it awakens things in us. This is called, from the outside, it's called Udipan. There's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Mukunda, he was a physician, medical man,
And he was quite good in his profession, so he would attend. He would attend to the Nawab Hussein Shah. He worked for the government, in other words, just like Rupen Sanatan, but he was as a physician. And one day, the king was seated on a raised platform and was being fanned by servants with peacock feathers. And Mukunda, he walks up towards the king. It comes like sort of into the quarters where the king was seated. He sees these peacock feathers like waving in the hands of the servants who are fanning the Nawab. And Mukunda just totally forgot everything. Just saw only those peacock feathers, and then he just like fainted. So, you know, when, okay, the whole thing, of course, someone faints in the middle of the court. Anyway, they brought him to his senses and all, so, and then the king sort of said, Mukunda, what happened to you? He said, oh, I have sometimes this problem, some dizzy spells, they come, and then I just, you know, lose consciousness. And the king said, you were seeing the peacock feathers. I saw it. I saw that you just looked at those peacock feathers, and then the expression on your face became one of intense concentration. What did you see? What did you see? That's what I want to know. So the Nawab was obviously an intelligent man, and he could see how. So this is Udipan. Udipan means like an impetus, something that sparks off our Krishna consciousness, something external that awakens our Krishna consciousness. So hearing about Krishna is the most powerful Udipan. We're here tonight to just gathering to hear a little bit about Krishna and a little bit about Krishna's name and how the name relates to Krishna, and then about hearing about Krishna and how that brings a whole new dimension to the name. I hope that my lecture has some success in this, you know, sort of say, yeah, that's true. Hearing is the oil of the lamp of chanting. Hearing does rejuvenate the flame of chanting. And it does, hearing about Krishna. So in this way, it is both Sravanam and Kirtanam. And in that way, we forget. We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And not the International Society for Regulative Principles. I used to say, that's like, you know. But sometimes you think we are in the International Society for Regulative Principles. Yeah, probably. That's offensive. That's not proper. The essence is to simply hear about Krishna and glorify Krishna. And then rules and regulations are there, they will follow. They will follow. It said a person whose attraction to Krishna is awakened will never engage in sinful activities. A devotee of Krishna will naturally be a vegetarian. He wouldn't want to be anything else. How could he be? Because Krishna is not alone. Krishna is surrounded by his cows. Krishna is Suryam Sarvadeviyam, the well-wisher of all living beings. So we must become also. That's what it means. Servant of Krishna. Do what Krishna likes. And so one becomes sinless. Even without so much focus on rules and regulations. Some rules and regulations are there. We're following in the beginning for our support. We have, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is chanting Hare Krishna. And that is really on our mind. I didn't select these verses before. I didn't I didn't prepare for this lecture. I just sort of grabbed one book off the shelf, and I kind of opened it somewhere, and then it came to this. And there's many verses here now about just chanting Hare Krishna, one after the other. What shall I say? This chanting of Hare Krishna is, there are unlimited varieties and ways in which we can chant the Holy Name. And the more we know about Krishna's glory, and the more we've served Krishna, the more meaning that name will, that chanting will bring to us in our hearts. When it will come to the point that it is said that the Holy Name will dance on our heart, on our tongue, and we desire millions of tongues, millions of ears, and the Lord will then dance in our heart also. That will be wonderful. So now it's getting late. So now I'll ask for some questions and then I'll stop. Since it's
we hear so much about the chanting of Hare Krishna, especially in this moment, but we see many people become complacent of listening to the glories of chanting Hare Krishna and taking it just another thing which they need to do in their regular routine. So how do we keep up our enthusiasm to dive into that?
By not being complacent ourselves. When we are complacent, how can we tell others not to be complacent? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if we want to tell people you should not be complacent, how can we do that? Only if you tell someone don't be so dry in your devotional practice. You should not be dry. That will not, that will not work. It will only if we are ecstatic ourselves. Then, yes, then we can do it. If we have some special spark, then it's very easy to tell. It's not the message, it's the consciousness of the messenger. It's not difficult, the message is not the problem, it's the consciousness of the messenger that's the problem. If the messenger has an ecstatic consciousness, then lots of people suddenly become interested, become favorable, say, oh yeah, enlivened, driving. Other questions? No? If no question, then okay.
Maharaj, I heard somewhere that the sound of Krishna's flute is the Hare Krishna mantra. Is
that true? You heard somewhere that the sound of Krishna's flute is the Hare Krishna mantra. Well, actually, Lord Brahma, he heard the sound of Krishna's flute when, in the very beginning. And then that sound of Krishna's flute came out of his mouth as the Gayatri mantra. That we read.
You mentioned about considering this yuga as Lord Chaitanya's yuga rather than Kali Yuga, but how can we appreciate that when we see so much happening around us?
So I mentioned that this is the Chaitanya Yuga amongst all these Kali Yugas, and that, it's not Kali Yuga at all.
But how should we react to such a statement when we see all these things around us that make us think that it's really Kali Yuga? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has commented on this, and he says that a jewel looks the best on a black background. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are just performed on a black background. That's it. So much is there. If you milk the cow, you get some juice. If you don't milk, no juice. Okay. Yes.
Maharaji, I have not done anything for Krishna.
You have not done anything
so
for Krishna.
Why should he care about me?
Why would he care about you?
Yeah.
Long before you. What happened is this, is that one day, you were in the street and you didn't remember your name. You stood there looking at a shop and you didn't know your name or where you were from. You were suffering from amnesia. You had lost your memory and your identity. Anyway, some people saw you like that and they kind of took care of you and they noticed which languages you spoke. So someone of the same language took care of you. So somehow or other, since that time, you've been living with a false identity. You got used to it now. It's almost like it's your real self. And you forgot. But once before, in your original identity, you did so much service for Krishna. You forgot, but Krishna never forgot. Because he has no amnesia. It's not infinite, but it's very large.
Yeah.
But it's limited also. It's not unlimited.
Yeah, and there's like billions of people in this world, and I'm the only one here.
There's billions of people in the world, and you're the only one here.
Yeah, and
I'm not here. The rest of us, we are not here. Is that so? Yeah?
No,
that's
for me, myself.
For you, it's like that. Yeah? Only you are here. Yeah, that's an interesting approach. And we are not. Huh?
I mean, like, he's caring about everyone.
He's caring about everyone.
So, is there something, and why? Like, he's something like great, like, nothing is equal to him.
Yeah.
I'm nothing in front of him.
You're nothing in front of him.
He is still, why you?
Why would he care about you?
Yeah.
Some insignificant little ant-like creature.
Exactly.
Because love is deep. And Krishna is, although he's great, he loves every living being deeply, not superficially. He loves every living being personally. He cares about everyone personally. So although you have amnesia and have forgotten him, he has not forgotten you. And his love for you has also not died. It is still there. Even although you haven't done anything for him for a long time, still his love for you has not died. That's Krishna. He's very deep. He has deep love for every living being. Personal relationship, even with a small, tiny little living. That's how great Krishna is. It says, you know, a great man, how he deals with a small living entity. You know? Or you know a great man, how he deals with a small man. That's what they say. Right. It's easy to be great to a great man, or to be, you see,
see a great man, you recognize a great man, how he deals with a small man. Yeah? So Krishna is so great that even a small man, he shows his love and care. That's great. And hearing about that makes you feel, yes, Krishna is actually wonderful. And then you think, yes, I should chant his name. That gives us the strength to chant, knowing how Krishna is actually great. Okay, thank you very, very much. It was very nice. Thank you for coming here this evening. Tomorrow evening, some of you may have time to come to Kurnama if you desire. So,
post or something and it's on? No.
Okay. So, you know, you just ask around until you meet somebody. There's Krishna will reveal it to you all. If you really desire. If your desire is strong enough, he'll reveal it to you. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.